This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, this weekend ain't about frickin' stocks and bonds. It's about football. It's about getting your ass up off of your lazy ass, yelling for your team, and saying, let's go, Bulls! Damn it!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
And for the love of God, people, quit doing the frickin' wave. Are you kidding me? The wave? Jesus. Nobody does the wave anymore. Yeah, the Billy Bobs do it in NASCAR at the racetrack because there's nothing else to do there except meow, 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 and watch the damn cars go in circles and wait for a wreck.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Damn it, son. Do y'all hear me?
The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2. And YouTube, we are up on YouTube.
Here we go.
Yeah, here we go into the second hour of the program because Swag couldn't answer trivia questions on national champions of past.
Well, remember.
Okay, well, I say this.
Final we couldn't even remember who was in the Final Four last year. That was last year. We Touché. Just did that.
We'll remember this one because it was all ones.
Sure, we will.
I don't know if I'll name all the teams, but we'll go, oh, that was all ones.
That was all the one seeds. Who were they?
What I would say this, you could play the game of like, who was in the game 2 years ago? I might not remember the exact year, but if you just say Florida, Houston, I'll go end of game, no shot.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Florida, North Carolina, I got to be honest with you. I don't remember what year that was. Mm. 18, 17, 19. It's all a blur. But you say Villanova, North Carolina, Marcus Page, and then the Chris Jenkins shot.
Yeah.
I remember the ending. That's all
fair.
I'm saying.
That's fair.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program.
Yes, we do.
We have talked college basketball. We have poo-pooed college basketball. We have taken a dump on college basketball, unfortunately. Get a shot off. I mean, my God.
Get a shot off. I mean, just one attempt.
Although...
half-court heave. Give me something.
God, this is not going to be a good take. I was kind of happy they lost. Jim Nance didn't need more wins in his life.
He didn't want him to hop on a PJ and head to Augusta to call the Masters as a national champion.
Dude is living.
Houston's had some rough. I mean, think about
their
runs. I mean,
they're 0-3 in the
God,
Natty.
So close. And Samson's been on a ton of runs where they've come up just short of getting to the national championship, too. Like, they have been knocking on the door for a long time.
The news that broke yesterday after our program, 9:04 a.m. Sham Sharania, and what? Then the Blazers confirmed it, announced. The Trailblazers have signed Joe Cronin, their general manager, to a multi-year contract extension.
Breaking news.
Now, this isn't meant as a shot in any way. Sometimes when you say somebody's name and then go against something they say, people think it's a shot. This is not a shot. He's a friend of the program.
Uh-oh.
Sean Eichen noted that Jody Allen gave a rare public statement. But I believe my history suggests she has like three public statements in these press releases. And like the last, I think she gave one for the Bill Walton thing. Like,
yeah.
And I don't even think she said it or wrote it, but like her name's in it and it's a written quote.
Yeah.
So it's not a rare public statement in my estimation. But the Trailblazers announced nonetheless that they have signed Joe Cronin to a multi-year extension.
My first question was, and I don't know if we have the answer to this, and maybe you guys don't know. I was trying to find it yesterday. Do we know how much time he had left on his contract?
This was it.
This was the last year of his deal. Okay.
I'm just going off what I heard yesterday.
What you heard yesterday, okay.
He had signed a four-year deal in May of 2022, which would have taken him through 26. So he might have had one year left.
Maybe one more year. So they didn't want a lame duck GM like they had a lame duck coach this year, is what you're telling me?
Do they have a lame duck coach? That's the next question to this extension.
Who's going
to
get extended?
Is there an extension pickup or is there an extension?
Domino.
It's the extender season, man. Everybody, I mean, look, when you have a rise up like that, when you Rip City rise the way that they did this year, everybody deserves a contract extension, right?
Well, I mean, what was your first thought of like them just saying, we've signed? Because the very first place I went, we can get to all of this.
Yeah.
I actually went to the Seahawk theory. I'm like, multi-year. When you guys hear multi-year, how many years is that in your brain?
3 to 4.
More than two, yes. More
right,
than
I
two.
Went three. What's the Seahawk theory?
Yeah, that 2028, she's going to sell the team.
That they're not signing people to longer than three-year deals.
Again, just a theory.
Just a theory.
There's no proof or fact
and
behind it.
Joe, for all we know, could rise this thing from the ashes in which they burnt it down, and this could be a playoff team in the next handful of years, and he's still the general manager. And I'm not suggesting anything nefarious here. I'm just asking, multi-year, is that three? Well, if the 3-year thing in the Seahawks is true, it's the same ownership group. Kind of makes you. That's where my brain went actually when I first saw this release.
That's a very positive outlook on this situation because I think it would be a good thing long term for the organization. I didn't expect this, so it came out of left field completely. I didn't know what his contract status was.
Well, nobody did.
Nobody
expected this.
So you're just like, oh, okay.
Except like people that are
inside the organization. Like, all right, Joe Cronin got an extension. A couple of thoughts that rattled around in my head. I think he's a very complicated figure in the Blazers right now and amongst the fan base.
Hmm.
Because you think about the timelines that he has represented. I mean, he took over for Olshay, and he was our knight in shining armor. He was our hero. Everybody hated Neil Olshay. We were all ready to move on from Neil Olshay. And here comes this, you know, knight in shining armor. I'm going to save the day. I'm going to go so all in. It's going to hurt you how all in we are. That's how it all started, right?
Well, it started with him being an interim, so we didn't even know he was our knight in shining armor.
Very true. But then he gets the full-time gig, and that was the talking point for two straight years, essentially.
2022 is named the full-time.
We're going to go so all in. We're getting these picks. Mm-hmm. And trust me to tank at the end of the year. These are assets that we can use, and that doesn't end up happening. He then has to trade away the best player, or one of the best players, in the face of your franchise, the guy who's beloved in this city. And so it's been a very weird, rocky up and down. I think, to be fair to Cronin, not all of it's been terrible. He's made some really good moves. I completely agreed with getting rid of CJ and Norm Powell the second he took over. I think in hindsight, I didn't like the way he lied isn't the right word, but misled people about going all in with the Dame situation. But in the long term, that's probably going to end up looking like the right call in what he decided to do. The Kamara pickup in that trade was great. The Denny Avdija trade seems to be awesome. Like, there's little wins along the way that I think we can all appreciate and support. My biggest issue is the thing that I am hung up on most this year, and that is that I don't really ever feel like they've gone fully in the direction that they should have gone and that he wanted them to go. And when he first took over, that direction was, let's go all in. They decided not to do that. They kept the picks. They said, oh, Dame, don't worry. We're going to trade him. They didn't trade him. Dame has to demand a trade. Mm-hmm. Then it's, hey, trust us. We need to rebuild. This is the next pivot. And I don't feel like they ever fully embraced a rebuild. And that's where I continue to be hung up long term. And my biggest fear is this is an organization that wants to get back to stability and being a 7 seed in the playoffs because it's enough to keep this fan base engaged. It's enough to sell tickets. It's enough to keep people watching and buying merchandise and talking about the team without ever really having any grandiose plans on how you take that next step. Because this year was your opportunity. You have unbelievable pieces in place that Cronin has largely built that if you just would have been able to tank and land a top 5 pick this year, that might have been the missing piece that you needed to fully take the next step in your rebuild. And I feel like you missed the mark on that, and I have a hard time getting over it when I analyze him as a general manager.
Well, I think in retrospect, there's certainly by the way, do you remember what they got in the CJ trade?
I remember it was scrap heap stuff. I don't remember a lot, no.
So Josh Hart was a part of that.
Yes, he was, and then they moved him.
Zadaransky. One player that I think in looking back now, I'm not going to act
Alexander
like,
Walker.
Yeah. It's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Timberwolves.
He had a pretty good run.
We did not see that the way that the Timberwolves did, and he developed really well for them. We got a 2022 first round pick that was protected in 2 future seconds.
Yeah.
And we sent CJ, Larry Nance, Tony Snell. The Josh Hart trade was Josh Hart to the Knicks for Cam Reddish. Not here.
Nope.
Ryan Archidiakono, not here.
Nope.
And Svi Mihalik.
Big fan.
Not here. Oh. And a protected 2023 first-round pick. Now, obviously went and got Denny, paid 2 firsts and Malcolm for that, which was, we thought Malcolm was going to net us a first. We weren't going to package 2 firsts to go get. But Denny's been really good.
Been very good.
There's no argument there.
Nope.
What you said at the beginning, I think kind of is where I'm at. It's complicated. It's not cut and dry, slam dunk, no-brainer move.
He's been amazing or he's been terrible. There's a middle ground there.
I mean, there's not an argument that it's been amazing.
No.
There's not even an argument, period. It's been middle ground.
Yep.
Their winning hasn't been there. I mean, in this stretch, they are on a trajectory. They're not going to make the play-in this year, which means they're not going to make the playoffs. I don't know what they're going to do this summer. I think a lot of it hinges on their draft pick. You know, when I log on to social media, I see people hyping themselves up about Con Knipple as if that's going to change their fortunes, and I'm like, I feel like dirt. I feel like Mr. Angry Pants.
Your head's going to explode.
But if they don't win out in the lottery and they're stuck in their range that they're at, I don't know what that move is. I don't know if there's a big move to even be done. Like, who's trading for DeAndre Ayton and giving you anything great?
Nobody.
Who's trading on the final year of Anthony Simons' contract and giving you amazing pieces?
I would hope that there's something there, but there's probably not.
And Rob Williams just had season-ending surgery.
Again.
Again.
Yeah. Jeremy Grant, you're not moving that contract.
Jeremy Grant's contract is an albatross. Like, yeah. it's the definition of middle of the road. A lot of people sum this era up, and they did it yesterday. The word vision. They like the vision. They see the vision. And I want to talk about that. When you look at this team, and I asked this question going into the break, we'll carry this over. When you think about the Trailblazers, legitimately, do you see the vision? Are you lying to yourself about seeing a vision, or do you not see a vision at all? I'm very curious where people are at on that, because there's some things that were written and said that I want to talk about on the other side about the vision, the Blazers signing Joe Cronin to an extension, and we'll get to that next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 719, The Fan text lines, 503-864-6326. We are discussing, and we'll talk with Mike Richmond about this at 8:15 for the Daily Ticker of Locked On Blazers podcast. We'll get to the mail sack as well, so get the mail sack questions in at the Fan text line. You can put them in the YouTube chat as well or on Twitter.
We'll probably go a little bit earlier with the old mail sack today.
Okay,
we got Richmond got the mail 15. Okay. I'm trying to figure out if I want to do it. It's 7:45 or 8. I'm not 100% sure yet.
Oh, a crunch time mail sack?
I might do a crunch time mail sack today. We'll see. We'll see how the sack looks.
I might be in on that. So we'll talk about this a little bit more. But Cronin gets the extension, and I asked for the break. The vision. The term vision was used quite a bit yesterday. We see the vision. Oh, look, this is the vision. The Blazers agreed to Cronin because of the vision. And I found a couple things kind of interesting as I think he's been very back and forth. I think there's been things where I'm like, what? And then there's been things that like, I like that. Notably, I loved that they got Tumani Kamara in the trade. Did I think Tumani Kamara was going to make all NBA this year? No. But in watching some of his draft stuff and seeing some of the, I liked it. I thought that was a smart move. And man, was he even better than I thought he would be. Denny, good player. I'm not going to sit here and also say that, like, you didn't pay a lot for Denny Avdija. You did.
You did.
But did you know his contract's a de-escalating contract?
He's got a good deal. He's got a great deal.
So there's been good things. I also found some of the draft stuff very interesting. Baby Kobe's my guy. Scoot Anderson, I have not sold any stock on. And the Klinger, I've wanted him to play more than 10 minutes the entire season. I also find it funny how we're saying those three draft picks, and we're almost, not we, but like the collective yesterday felt like they're almost just saying like home run hits. I'm like, well,
no.
If I'm being very honest,
none of them are a home run.
Shaden has been so up and down.
Yeah. You can say there's still potential there. I'm not giving up on it, but to say it's been a home run is laughable.
Scoot is the number three pick in the draft, okay? That is the perspective you need when talking about Scoot Henderson. That was a, quote, generational player.
We can't not take this guy.
According to them.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, second year. And it's like, yeah, well, he's still not amazing.
He's had moments. He's young. I'm giving him time. 100%. But it has not been a home run.
And Donovan has definitely had moments where it's been good. And Donovan's had moments where it's like, might be like an 8 point a night, two blocks, 20 minutes.
Are you a 10 and 10 guy? Can you be a 10 and 10 guy?
Maybe. Yeah. I hope. But I just find how we're phrasing and setting it all up very interesting. And I want to read this real quick before you go. This was written by Sean Hyken at the Rose Garden Report, which I'm a subscriber of. And he was talking about how the Blazers basically are saying they see the vision with Joe Cronin, which is why he gets the extension. They also overperformed this year. So, hey, get to point to wins and say, look what I did. He writes this, and I found this interesting. Recognizing that tanking for another high lottery pick is no longer realistic with this group improving as much as it did this year, and making roster upgrades to further that growth and push towards the playoffs, but not going so far in that direction that it boxes them into the exact kind of long-term purgatory they were in for most of Lillard's prime. And what I would say is, one, I don't agree with the first part of that. There's nothing about this roster that says you should be giving up on a high lottery pick. But two, I find interesting, I've been just as critical of Neil Olshey as any person in this market. Okay? I didn't get fired by Neil O'Shea the way Isaac did. But I saw it and was like, no. We were substantially more critical of Neil O'Shea, in part because of his personality type.
Without a doubt.
And that dude at least had a first, second round team every year, had a Western Conference Finals appearance. This team, when was their last playoff? 2020?
2021? Yeah, yeah. The loss to Denver, I believe, where Dame went off and they lost in six games in the first round to Denver.
They are approaching like 4 years of no playoffs.
And have had three top 10 picks in a row, and I don't know if you feel confident about building the franchise around any of those guys.
And all I'm saying is there's really not a lot of criticism publicly about him, but the last guy, he didn't win enough, even though the franchise is not currently really winning.
Yeah, this is where, I mean, you use the word vision, and I know they used it a lot yesterday. I just want to ask the question, and this is where I'd love to, you know, like, what is the vision? What's the plan? Because if you would have asked me at the end of last season what the plan is, I would have been, I get it. You're tanking. You're in a rebuild. You're hoping that one of these draft picks hits, and I don't disagree with the strategy. When you're in Portland, you only have one pathway to find a superstar player, and that is to get him through the draft. That's it. You're not signing him in free agency. You're not trading for him. So I understand the larger vision there. This was the first year. Well, not really. I had gripes in the last 2 years about certain players and roles that guys were having. This was the year that it came to a head for me, because if that truly was your vision of we're rebuilding, we're going young, I didn't understand the desire to not trade Jeremy Grant last offseason when there were offers on the table reportedly for him and you could have moved off of him. I didn't understand the idea of having back-to-back top 10 picks used on a point guard and a shooting guard and then keeping the other guard on your team in Anthony Simons and making one of, if not both of those guys, come off the bench at times in their third or respective second years in the NBA.
I mean, he's the new CJ.
Exactly.
He's a combo guard that they drafted.
He's in between and they don't want to get rid of him because he's our guy and we can't get rid of him. I didn't understand the idea of holding on to Robert Williams, who when you drafted a center in the top 10 last year and you have DeAndre Ayton, who you can't move because the contract's not great, there was, you know, a little bit of interest in Robert Williams, who's a good player, but you know that he has health concerns, and maybe if we keep him, he's going to get hurt again. Like, I could have seen the vision more if you would have made the moves to show me that that was the pathway that you wanted to take. Now, to the point about being in purgatory, I do think you boxed your way in. Like, and part of it is his own fault because he was good in getting Denny and good in getting Kamara. They have grown. Certain players have grown, and you have now elevated out of the position of being one of the five worst teams in the NBA, well, likely next season.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like, what is the pathway next year? Is it just to be the same little team? And we say, hey, we were an 8 seed this year. This was fun. Because that's my biggest fears. That's all they want. Well, that's all they care about.
Are you looking at the standings right now?
I'll pull them up.
So, okay, would you pull up the standings? It's interesting. Swag sent us this information, but I saw this on, I think it was NBA, the ESPN NBA show. Seven teams can be the 3 seed as of today. Seven.
Seven, yeah.
And 6 can be 4 through 8. It can be any one of the 6 teams.
Very jumbled together.
And so all I'm asking on the back of this team is showing that they're no longer a high lottery pick team because they've grown so much. On that narrative, I'm asking, what team in that race are they jumping? The Lakers got Luka.
Yeah.
The Mavericks are going to be better next year. The Timberwolves are going nowhere.
The Mavs I would be curious about, because how long is Kyrie out for?
Probably most of the season, but AD's going to come back healthy. I'm sure they're going to make a move of some sort.
Really, though?
They're better than us.
I know they are.
They're better than us.
They're 3 wins better than you right now.
The Grizzlies,
yeah.
I would assume.
The Clippers.
The Clippers.
Are the Kings going to be better than you next year?
Maybe, maybe not. They're a wild card every year to kind of be at the bottom of that thing.
The Suns are a question mark based on what they do.
I don't think
the
Suns are going to blow it up.
Yeah, well, the Suns should blow it up.
Yeah.
But you just kind of rattle it off, and it's like, well, then who are you passing to make the 8 seed?
Here's what I would say. I don't disagree with the overall take. I'm just saying injuries happen, one.
Sure.
Like, you know, Dallas' season has imploded.
Could also happen to you, too.
It very well could.
Yeah.
I mean, they are right now the 9 seed or the 8 seed. The 9 seed in the West right now is 39 wins. You have 35. So, I mean, you're looking at to be in the play-in next year, that's a difference of 4 wins.
Right. And
that's manageable. I'm not saying you're going to jump into being 6 seed.
So the expectation
next year,
for next year,
that's
for
what I'm asking.
Is the play-in?
That's what I'm asking. What's the vision?
The
What's
vision
the plan
is the
next
play-in
year?
With no top 5 pick if they don't hit the lottery.
And if Wemby is healthy, if he solves his
thank you. Yeah,
his issue,
be
how
right.
much better are the Spurs going to
well,
be?
They're better than you. They are. They're better than you.
Yes.
And next year, if I had to bet right now, my money would be on them drafting whoever they draft at the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th pick.
Well,
and not making any. I think Anfernee Simons will still be on the team. You're not trading Robert Williams this offseason.
I mean, you have to trade. And
we've said that for three straight years.
I understand
it for three straight years.
It didn't make sense 3 years ago. 2 years ago, it started to make sense.
It did. They drafted guards in back to back drafts. They could have traded him.
No, 3 years ago, it didn't make any sense. 2 years ago, I'm with you. It started, and then last year was like, yo, and then it was like nothing.
He said at the
exit
interviews,
expiring.
I don't want to be here anymore.
So you're either going to extend him, and you're going to keep running this three guard thing, and your number three pick's going to come off the bench next year in his third season.
That makes sense this year, let alone next year.
Your number seven pick is still coming off the bench in his third season, so what's he going to be in his fourth season?
He doesn't play hard enough on defense.
This is where it's mixed of like the good and the bad. Well, he got Denny, he got Tamani. Yeah. Ayton. Ayton barely plays. Yeah, I guess. Rob Williams. No, I'm not counting that as something. And by the way, the most overlooked thing of all of this, they signed Gary Payton II to their mid-level and basically tail tucked between legs, had to trade him for second-round stuff in the season that they had just signed him.
Yep.
Like, that's... That didn't get enough talk.
Nope.
Your mid-level guy instantly was not a fit, and you had to trade him for some second-round stuff.
Look at you, Angry Pants.
Well, no, I'm trying to be honest and fair. I think the idea that, like, you can clear-cut see the vision.
No, there's
please
no
define the vision, because your vision would have to be Scoot hits, Shea hits, Tamani is already hit.
That's what they're hoping. That's
Denny
their prayer.
Is hit.
Or a 3% chance of the lottery
and
hits.
And the Klinger hits. That's and if the prayer. Lottery hits. Yeah. That's the vision. But if the lottery doesn't hit in your way and you stay relatively where you are, the math says you're not getting an all-star. It's just the history. It's not me. It's the history. Your point guard is not generational, but he's not bad. Your two guard is still going to go into the offseason with me wondering, is he ever going to take that next step? And after that, it's going to be, what?
I mean, you'll have slight improvements. You'll probably be maybe around 500 next year because that's not that big of a jump to make. That'll be good enough to be in the play-in. And the sad reality is, and this is why I bring it up constantly, for 80% of this fan base, that's enough. That's enough. And that's going to keep them buying tickets. It's going to keep them engaged. And this is my larger overall point. I connected them to the Mariners
yesterday.
You're an
angry East Coast sports fan.
I am. I want
to
hold my teams accountable
for
shortcomings, and I want them to be competitive, and I want to have a long-term vision, and I don't think they have a long-term vision here.
So
I think they just want to do enough. I think they want to do enough to be relevant and competitive, because what did we see this year as the year when they won 10 games in a row or 10 out of 11 or whatever
11,
it was?
Yeah.
What happened to the Moda Center, Sprague?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to it? That's all they can. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the end game. This is a business.
It
is. At the end of the day, I don't think there is a.
So you think they want to do what Hyken's saying they don't want to do? They just want to be a playoff team.
I think they're perfectly fine.
And that's cool.
I think that was the push in the last regime as well from Neil O'Shea. We got Damian Lillard. Let's be a 6 or 7 seed.
Well,
maybe
he sniffed his own farts a little too much.
Maybe occasionally we'll win a playoff series. And look at that. Rip City Fever, baby. I think that's their thought.
What do they do with Chance?
That's
the next big question, is it not? Like, do you extend Chauncey Billups? Does Chauncey Billups earn an extension? Or is that thing, are they going to move on from each other? I'm not, overall, my point is this. I totally understand why you extend him. I'm not suggesting you don't. I'm just saying, like, it needs to be said and it needs to be pointed out. Like, being fair about this, there's been some good, there's been some questionable, and there's been some bad.
And what's the pathway out of purgatory? What is the pathway and the vision to get out of the lot of life you're in right now where you're not bad enough and you're clearly not good enough?
You hope that some of your trade assets actually garner real stuff, and you hope that the lottery balls bounce your way high enough, I'd prefer flag, to go get whatever that player is that makes sense for your roster.
I know we're against it.
Whoever Mike Schmitz really likes.
This is what I would
say. That's who's going to make that pick.
You brought this up before. Do you this off? Like, if you sell me a vision, I'm okay with it. I just want to know what the long term plan is. Do you go the Cleveland route this offseason where you say, hey, we've added some draft picks, we've accumulated young talent, we have future Milwaukee picks, we're going to have the 10th, maybe, let's just say, overall pick in this year's draft. Let's go get our star. Let's go get Donovan Mitchell in a trade. Let's make that move to put a star around young play. Like, that's where I just want to know.
Who's the star?
I don't know.
I've thought about this a million times.
I don't know who's going to be available.
Maybe it's Devin Booker, but why would Phoenix says they don't want to trade him.
They don't want to trade him. I think they should, but that's a different conversation for a different day.
It's a different conversation. Look at us going way over. Would you shut up?
God, stop talking.
I don't know. Maybe we have a little bit more on that. I find the conversation very interesting, as if, like, this is a playoff type team is the way people talk about him.
Because it's
kind of my takeaway from yesterday, and it's like they're not going to make the playoffs again.
Nope.
And they're not good enough for a good pick in a good draft.
It's the exact spot you don't want to be.
It kind of is. I mean, you just got to
be
honest.
You're not good enough, you're not bad enough.
So we'll see. Maybe the balls will bounce their way. The Blazers extend Joe Cronin. Multi-year extension. So Joe Cronin will be here. He will have to navigate the coaching situation with Chauncey. Will Chauncey be back? Do you want Chauncey back? There is a lot ahead of for them, for the Trailblazers, but they have overperformed, and so that has earned Joe Cronin the extension. We have a lot to get to. Mike Richmond will hop on at 8:15. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. We'll talk with Richmond coming up in a bit. We'll get his thoughts on this. We're going to move the mail sack up. So mail sack is next. We're going to do a crunch time mail sack today. I got an NFL quarterback's comments in my notes. We'll see if we have time for that. I did want to read a couple thoughts, though. We don't have a lot of time here, so we'll read a couple thoughts, answer a poll question that you put up yesterday after the show. I just want to go through these. We asked, just kind of what's the vision, right? Mm-hmm. Here's a couple thoughts of the fan text line. The vision is to be a 6-10 seed most years, sell out a lot of games because the fan base is too nice and satisfied with the occasional first round win. This franchise has no incentive to ever go all in for a title. 75% of Blazer fans think the current young guys on the roster are future dynasty.
I will just say this. I created the term doing the podcast with Danny that we're not built for this when we started talking about tanking and losing games on purpose. And I have been proven right fairly quicker than I thought I would be.
Yeah.
That being said, 10 out of 10, no notes on that text. I think that is exactly accurate. Every diehard Blazer fan I know basically lives in that.
They think that this crop of young guys will turn into a title team and they just want to win games.
They just want to be a playoff team, say they're a playoff team, and then be cool with it and then move on with their...
Entertain me through April and then I'm fine. Yeah, send me home packing, that's fine. Another one said, we've been waiting for 2 years for this draft and now we blew that too. There just isn't a vision. It's moves to make moves. They're competitive. Sure, great. Another one.
There's things to like about this. I do. I know some of that came off as fairly negative, but like yesterday didn't seem like it was pointed out very much of the negative. It was like the vision and how great. And
yeah, it's been a huge sweeping success.
Yeah. And they have been better than everybody in this market thought they would be
in the year where you didn't want to be better than we all thought you would be.
But like last year, you tried to be worse for the draft's purposes. Draft's better and you were.
Could have pulled the plug 2 weeks ago. You could have, but you didn't.
You 3 weeks ago.
I don't know if I see the vision, but I think they backed up their claims of wanting to compile a bigger, longer, stronger team moving forward. The hiccup is that while you have all this size and defensive prowess now, you don't have the it factor piece in a franchise player. That will always be the missing ingredient, regardless of their vision for the team. That's from P1 Chain.
And that's 100%.
I think it's a great way to put it. Like
they have built it better out.
Yes.
They're not all small dudes.
Yes.
But that is the thing now. Like Denny, good. Tamani, good. Shaden, fingers crossed, it takes the leap. Scoot, fingers crossed, it continues to grow and take a leap. Klingon, fingers crossed. It's funny, I'm listening to these podcasts, they're doing like all defensive selections, all these podcasts, these national ones.
All NBA teams, all the end of the season.
Tamani's being mentioned but not making it.
Yeah.
Because we're not thought of as an organization much around the NBA. And it's interesting listening, it's like Amen Thompson, second team all defense. And people are like, hey, Amen Thompson, man. And I'm just like,
who's he play for?
Houston.
Yeah. What seed are they?
Are
they on national TV occasionally?
Well, not as much as they probably should have been, but they're having a great year.
Yeah.
But my point is, it's just simply like the draft picks have moments that make me super happy and excited, and I'm still holding the stock. I'm just as a stockholder also telling you,
this is not a sure thing.
I hope tomorrow it goes up and doesn't go down. It's where I'm kind of sitting right now, and I'm rooting like hell for them to succeed. But I will acknowledge, I do like that they have built it out taller and longer than they did in the last
Without regime. A doubt, that was the thought process. So from that vision of how they want to build a roster, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Shane hit it on the head, though. It's like, that's great. You can have as many good, lengthy defenders as you want. You got to have stars to win in the NBA. You can be a feisty little 7 seed all you want, and that's probably what the future holds for them. Who's the piece? Who's the guy you build a team around?
You're the Timberwolves without Anthony Edwards.
Yes, that's exactly who you are. Which, hey, that's you're not the worst team in the league, but you're not very good either. That's right where you don't want to be. Two more thoughts here.
Yeah.
And then we'll go on to the mail sack. Mike Richmond coming up at 8:15. We'll get his thoughts. Somebody said the Blazers or the Mariners, model of mediocrity. Oh. The only reason they don't get the same hate is the bar is to stumble into the playoffs is much lower in the NBA. And I agree completely with that. I made that argument yesterday. It is so
They've
much
been better than the Mariners, man.
Have they?
Yeah.
How?
The Mariners have been in the playoffs like one time in 23 years.
If only four teams in the Western Conference made the playoffs, how many times would the Blazers have gone to the playoffs?
Oh, I can't answer that. But it's not, that's, yeah, but that's not how
that's his point. His point is the bar is so much lower, so they don't get the same hate. For a long time in baseball, it was only four teams that made it, and then you had the two wild card teams, so it's technically five. Now they've expanded in the last couple of years, so it's different in Major League Baseball. But that just started, what? When did they expand the playoffs? 2 years ago?
How many times in the Dame playoff era look up how many times
were they
were
a home
in, like,
court advantage?
Four, yeah.
How many times do they have home court advantage?
Clippers series, right? No.
No.
Okay.
The year they went to the conference finals, they did.
OKC. New Orleans, but they lost that
series. They lost that series, so that's twice.
They were three seed that year.
You got two. Not the Houston series. They started on the road.
Yeah, because LaMarcus had the back-to-back 40.
Yeah. So,
I mean, not a whole lot.
That's the point. I mean, and what are our best sports memories of the Blazers in the last 25 years? What round of the playoffs did they happen in?
The NBA Finals.
In the last 25 years?
Oh, 25. I mean,
no,
you
don't
know.
Count 1977.
They were in the 90s.
Yeah.
The late 90s, they were in the West Finals. They were a quarter away. I'll push back on that. They've been better than the Mariners.
Yeah, the Mariners went to an ALCS in the early 2000s as well. I think that's spot on. Another one, Portland fans are tough and generally okay with just being good. Their fear of becoming the Wizards or the Hornets far outweighs their desire for success.
For years, you don't want to be the Pistons. The Pistons have Cade Cunningham, and they've quite literally built their team exactly how Portland did.
Yeah.
But better because they have Cade Cunningham.
You've seen teams who have built around the draft and then gone and added vets to add to their roster. And is that the move now? Do you pivot and go that direction next offseason? I'm wondering what the vision is. Wanted to read some thoughts from fans, or from listeners, excuse me, and Blazer fans. We'll talk to Mike Richmond coming up at 8:15 for our daily ticker. Let's get to crunch time. It'll be a mail sack crunch time. That's next on the Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We'll talk to the homie Mike Richmond coming up at 8:15 about the news yesterday that Joe Cronin was extended. We'll get his thoughts on it, and appreciate all the listener interaction there. Some people just, you know, randomly tweeting and not tagging us, but ranting about our takes on Cronin. We're getting thoughts that are coming in. Appreciate all the feedback. It's an interesting time for the organization. And
root for Cronin to do well. I absolutely do.
I'm rooting for a mirror. There's nothing that would be better than the number one pick this offseason.
I'm not even. Nothing. I totally get why you lock him up. I get it. It makes sense to me. I think we need to be very honest in this city about the state of the team. And yep, they overperformed. It's not all roses. Like, it's been great for a lot of people. It's been fun. The vision. Okay, well, what's next year's vision? And if you can't cleanly define that for me, it's just young guys get better.
You're just the 9 seed in the Western Conference now instead of the 10 seed or the 11 seed.
I think that's the thing. Think about after the draft lottery, after the draft itself, when we get into like the dog days, July, August, maybe even after summer league to see what the pick is. I think that's the question next, is like, what is... If you know the vision, or you claim to know the vision, what's the expectation then next year?
What's the thought process?
Because how many years are you going to kick this can of, well...
Improvement.
Not next year, but the year after is... Yeah. Okay.
Then we're going to go all in.
For that for 2 years.
Then we'll go all in. Let's get to a couple of mail sack questions. This will probably carry over a little bit top of the hour. We'll see how it goes. And then Richmond again at 8:15. Mail sack question. I was inspired to bust out the power washer during the sunny day on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
I ended up washing way more than I had initially planned on. My question is, in the history of men, has any man ever set out to power wash and just stopped at his initial goal? It's like crack, and once I start, I just can't stop.
It certainly isn't, and I say amen to this listener because I have the same problem. My power washer is currently buried in my shed that I built with my hands from the ground up. I dug the ground and
I mean, you didn't really build it. Your father-in-law did, but that's all right. You did a couple nails, a couple screws.
That is it's maybe the most offensive thing you've said to me in the entire existence of our relationship. Built that shed with my father-in-law. You're right.
Hey, take shots at my 9-2 baseball team. We're going below the belt now, okay? We're going below the belt.
It's been a bad year. We're a 1-1 team. What do you want from me? Every time I pull out the pressure washer, it has those three different nozzles. So, yeah, I wash the car and then change it out. Now we're cleaning the driveway a little bit. Oh, underneath the front door, spider webs and spider eggs. clear that out. Oh, wasp nest. Nah. We're just everything. I'm exactly the same way. I cannot just do one thing with the pressure washer.
It's impossible.
I got to do everything with
it. It's just impossible. No man has ever done it. Once you start, you cannot stop.
I would argue.
It's too satisfying.
You know, people take guns to gun ranges and just like unload that thing. I kind of feel that same power with a pressure washer.
Yeah.
I think I get more satisfaction cleaning that dirt off my pavement than I would shooting a can from 45 yards.
I tend to agree with you there. Mail sack, if you had to eat with no hands for the rest of your life, which food would you never eat again?
Now, how specific can we get here?
There'd be a lot of them. I'm not eating soup.
What?
You could just drink it out of the bowl. I guess no hands, yeah. Does that mean you can't pick up the bowl?
Wait, wait. Re-say the question?
If you had to eat with no hands for the rest of your life, what food would you never eat again? Now, does this mean like I just can't use my hands or I have nubs?
Well, you'd have fake hands. You have claws.
Like if I have just the... Can I like lift the bowl with the nub and drink the soup? Is that possible?
I don't know. I don't know how...
Cereal?
What do you...
How would you eat yogurt?
I mean, there's anything that you need a spoon for, you'd just be out.
Yeah.
I'm very confused how to answer this question.
I don't know where this question gets.
I'm just going to say scalloped potatoes because they're awful.
Could I get a big straw for my soup?
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, I think I could do that.
You can drink your soup.
I think I could drink my... But it's got to be big enough to get like the chunks of the chicken noodle up or whatever soup you're eating.
Well, that's an extra...
Do a clam chowder. Yeah. You get like a potato in there.
That's
a weird visual.
That's a poor question.
Wow.
That's just stupid.
Wow.
Jeez.
These are our... The customer's always right, Swag. That's what they say.
No, sorry. Let's not they say there are no dumb questions.
He said sorry after saying the
question.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
That's a dumb question.
Well, I just don't know how to answer, like, which thing to choose there. It's literally anything with a spoon.
Yeah. A little complicated.
If I only had nubs, I couldn't almost eat anything. Well, how would I eat a sandwich?
How am I even preparing food at that point?
Yeah, you have to have somebody cook for you.
Yeah.
Are there any cooks with claws?
Taking this very seriously.
Well, now I'm thinking.
Shout out Steve Novak. Mail sack, if you could have any professional sport in Portland, no matter how unrealistic
NFL.
It is, what would it be?
NFL.
NFL.
The Gridiron Project. NFL. Make it happen.
It's not even close. It's not even a debate.
Be the NHL.
No.
What?
No.
You could choose any sport.
Yeah. You would rather have the NHL in Portland than the NFL.
That is such a terrible
take. I love hockey, but come on.
That is a terrible take.
It's the king of
kings.
That's a bad take.
That's worse than the question that was texted
in.
I love the NHL.
That listener that asked that question.
I'd take Major League Baseball in a heartbeat, too.
What a stupid answer by you.
The NFL.
Be better.
Gridiron Project, man. Mail sack question.
Hockey? You love hockey more than the NFL? You're lying. You're a straight liar. You're a liar, and your pants are on fire.
If you're in traffic and someone in the lane next to you is obviously trying to dart forward and cut in at the last moment, do you ever deliberately work to block them so that they can't get in?
Oh, yes. Rubbing is racing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have done that.
I want to tailspin you into a wall.
If you don't know where you're going and you can't follow road signs and you can't pay attention to your navigation system, then you know what? You're getting bumped. You can go around the block three times and come back.
But let me answer this now.
I know where I'm going.
As mature, almost 39-year-old Sprague.
Yeah.
I let them in. But in my car, I'm like, you son of a...
I make them sweat it out, and then I usually
I'm
back
Joe
down.
Pesci in Home Alone.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
I'll lay on a horn, too.
Do you really? You're a horn layer in an all-electric car.
Yep.
What's that sound like?
I don't honk very often.
It's a good horn there in the Hyundai.
What's your honk percentage when you're driving? I'm a very low percentage honk guy.
If I honk, it's to just alert you because I've counted to three at a light and you've not moved. So
is that your personal counter? 1,000, 2,000, 1,000, 3,000, 1,000
Because I assume you're looking at your phone like normal human beings tend to do.
That's just a quick one.
It's like it's a non-threatening horn. It's like beep,
just
beep.
A little double one. But if you're not paying attention on the road, I'm laying on it.
Hockey over the NFL. I mean,
that's
just
such
awful time. My one shining moment take is better than that take.
We got a lot to get to.
Oh, the Ice Cats are in town today. Yeah, how excited are you? It's game 66.
Who wouldn't want to go watch Patrick Mahomes play at the Portland Gridiron Stadium?
Hey, Josh Allen's on a tear. He's in Portland this weekend.
The Green Bay Packers are in town this weekend.
Dallas Cowboys lost 5 in a row. Yeah. They're coming to Portland.
Give me the Nashville Predators instead. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.95 a month. Go find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. The homie Mike Richmond at 8:15.
The Ducks are in town.
Quarterback said he was disrespected. A couple of lingering mail sack questions. Loaded final hour next on The Fam.